gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris the Boy, voice deity, Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. I'm going to have an attitude all morning. You know why?
Why?
Because I'm a movie star now.
Oh, yeah. How'd that go?
I shot my film. Director tells me, fabulous.
Oh, good.
Okay.
No one can play you like you.
No. Nobody plays
Stephanie Miller
like me.
Was there a casting
couch
involved?
I had to improvise. I was shouting ridiculous questions at celebrities on the red carpet, a fictional red carpet, at a fictional Oscars somewhere.
Were they real celebrities, though?
No, well, they're going to green screen them in. So there's one, like, I'm supposed to be interviewing George Clooney.
So there's special effects involved.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, they couldn't have me actually next to any celebrities.
They couldn't have you breathing the same air as George Clooney.
No one would do it. Well, ever since the, you know, restraining order.
Yeah.
I used to climb up the back of his fence and watch him and his friends play basketball shirtless.
Yeah.
So that was a...
Whatever!
Like a squirrel. I used to just...
But that might have been in the 90s when
that was a long time ago.
In better shape.
Right.
So the statute of limitations has passed.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. All right. Now I'm allowed... That's in Hollywood. They let you back a little at a time. Now I can be in green screen with him.
That's a start.
Right. It's the start of a restraining order being removed. All right, so speaking of seeing people live, guess where you can see Mama?
Hey, Chicago, you say twice is not enough?
15 is my limit.
Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is making a return visit to the Chicago Theater on April 13th.
With filthy mouths and bad attitudes.
Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com. Come see the tour that sparked the number one comedy album and its own TV documentary.
Who can argue with that?
The Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour at the Chicago Theater on April 13th. Sweet Home Chicago is about to get more sugar from Mama.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, Bert in Chicago writes, Mama, got my Chicago Sexy Liberal tickets for April. Can't wait. It's my second Sexy Liberal show, a Steph Head of sorts. Too bad Jim Ward won't be making the trip because I'm holding auditions for my Jimi Hendrix Whitesnake tribute band.
Ooh.
We're calling it Band of Vipers.
I may have to fly out just for that.
Jim may come in for that.
Yes.
Exactly. All right, so lots to get to. We have Representative John Yarmuth of the great state of Kentucky coming up, and, of course, Charlie Pierce. Representative Yarmuth has been saying Ashley Judd's going to run and maybe kick a little turtle ass.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
A little turtle ass in Kentucky.
She's stepping up her political appearances,
yeah.
I've noticed.
Yeah.
So good for her.
Hey, oh, speaking
of
hot...
to kick a little harder to get through my shell.
That's true. She'll have to kick harder.
Yeah.
Speaking of hot, smart, funny actresses, I wore Melissa Fitzgerald's dress for my film because, as you know, I'm not a real girl. So I had to borrow the dress that I borrowed from the inauguration. Right, and her and Jackie told me how to get gel nails done. So I was ready for my movie, for my close-up.
Okay.
I've never heard of... Why are you laughing at me?
Well,
because they were like, oh, do you have a gown? I'm like, no. But let me call one of my real girlfriends. So Melissa brought the dress.
Okay, so you didn't have to wear your normal, like, Barbara Streisand and Prince of Tides pantsuit.
Right.
Okay, good.
Although, Jim, as you know, because you just saw Hot Brie, as we call her. That's her stripper name. She's a little more...
busty?
Right, right, endowed than I am. So
I noticed that.
She has a higher level of cup than you
so
do.
So this is behind... Let me take you behind the scenes in Hollywood. So as we're shooting my film... they have to, because they only shoot you, obviously, from the front when you're, they had to, the
clothes pin you? No! Oh, God!
It's like guys, with the director goes, we have gaffer tape. You know what gaffer tape means? She has no boobs.
Right.
And she can't hold this dress up. So there's guys behind me, like, with gaffer tape and clothes pins, and, yeah. It's a little sad. Okay, because also, you know why? Because I don't have one of those things, what are they called? Strapless bras. I don't.
Whatever.
I should have gotten one of those. I had no idea. There's too many girl things to keep track of.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I only have the kind with the straps, and you can't because it's a strapless dress. And I don't.
Whatever.
Well, didn't they tell you to bring an assortment of clothes? They usually do.
The assortment I have is the one dress Melissa Fitzgerald will let me wear. That's what I have.
So I take it there's no wardrobe budget in this movie.
Well, I think they brought some poofy prom gown.
Oh.
That's why, you know.
All right. Okay.
Okay. I'll let you know when my film opens. All right. So what was I going to say? All right. So we've this sequester, seriously, it's giving me a headache in my eye.
Yeah.
It's worse than the time I rubbed poison ivy in my eye.
Poison ivy.
That's something from a
PSA that we've gotten over and over again.
Yeah. We're the only ones who hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's always a lot of useful information in those things, like it's not good to rub poison ivy in your eye.
Thank you for
that. Note of that.
You may have an eye problem.
Thanks, Ad Council.
Don't smoke if you're covered in kerosene.
By the way, I'm of the opinion that we start everything everywhere. I'm just saying, because we obsessed all morning yesterday over what? The Taylor Swift song with the Screaming Goats?
Yes.
Because we introduced Screaming Goats first, and then the
Taylor Swift
with the Screaming Goats, and then it was all over TV last night. I'm telling you, it's from here to there.
Well, apparently there's a Living on a Prayer Goats version.
I don't know, it's only funny if you've had the kind of love life I have.
God, it sounds just like John Bon Jovi.
That's what
I'd like to thank Paul for sending that to us.
That's what every love song sounds like to me. It starts all, seems like it's going to be fine, and then... Oh, what have I done again?
Oh, God.
Okay. All right. So the president, again, again, on the sequester.
These cuts do not have to happen. Congress can turn them off anytime with just a little bit of compromise.
By the way, the Republican governors are becoming like the Screaming Goats.
Yeah.
Like, toops, okay, quit screwing around. I mean, because this is going to affect everybody in every state. And Charlie Pierce, as usual, I have to say, wrote another brilliant piece with a point of view I haven't heard anybody else talk about. He was saying about why Republicans are going to lose this, because he said there is local news coverage in every, and that's
absolutely
where you're going to see every story about these cuts. It's not like, you know, and that's a lot of free advertising, I suppose, if you want to call it, about the actual consequences.
That's why the argument in the national media is so loud about whose fault it is, because each side is trying to blame the other side. And
it doesn't matter. It literally is like arguing when you're going over the cliff.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter who decided to go down this road.
Right.
Somebody.
But I think the
turn the car, or sit, you know, or hit the brakes.
The Democrats are winning that argument.
Yeah.
So it's going to be the Republicans.
Well,
fault.
Thanks to Boner and his big mouth.
Yeah.
I got 98% of I'm very happy. Who might lose some jobs? So
here is a PowerPoint presentation. What a fabulous idea this is.
Yeah.
Ask Pennsylvania Governor Tom Corbett and Utah Governor Gary Herbert what they think of Hill Republican strategy on the sequester, and you get the exact same response. What strategy? Their message for Speaker Boehner and other GOP leaders: it's not okay to sit on the sidelines. It's time to do something to stop the automatic cuts, and fast. They need to stop having press conferences and start meetings, said Transvaginal Bob, Governor of Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
The time for shows is over. We've had 18 months. It's a reality. This is from Politico. It's a reality check moment for the Republican Party, with state leaders fearing they'll be left to clean up the economic disaster back home if Washington can't overcome its partisan stalemate. Until now, Republican governors have mostly been content to blame Obama for sequestration cuts that will hit their states in 5 days, and they've stayed quiet about the role their Hill colleagues have played in the mess. That's exactly what Republican leaders wanted, but the governors aren't having it anymore, so that's what's been happening in these meetings with the president. A bunch of screaming goats.
Rocky Mountain Mike in the chat room says, that's goats adorbs.
Oh.
Wow. Really, Mike? That's because he's sick of the sequestration, isn't he? Has he made that into a jingle now instead of a full-blown? Right.
I'm sick of the sequestration. It's given me some frustration.
Yes.
He put the theremin in there. We didn't have that yesterday.
The what?
The theremin.
What's that?
That spacey-sounding thing.
Oh, right.
Wee-oo.
Okay.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
I thought it was thermite, what Jim was talking about yesterday.
No.
That's different.
A theremin is a musical instrument.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Different than therabreath, mouth-wetting lozenge.
Very different.
Okay.
You wouldn't want to put one of those in your mouth.
No. Chuck in Delaware, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Chuck.
Good morning.
Good morning, Chuck.
Wow.
We're just discussing which things I put in my mouth or not. I have a sign in my house that says I don't cook clean or put icky things near my mouth.
Oh, my.
All right, Chuck, go ahead.
I just want to tell you I enjoy your show so much.
Thank you.
Today's my 65th birthday.
Happy birthday.
I can't wait to see Boehner get beat.
Yeah.
14's going to be a great year.
Thanks. Look at you. People are feeling chuckly this morning. I'm
yeah, they
sure.
are.
What's
oh,
that?
I just got an email from someone talking about this movie that I'm in. It's an animated thing called Escape from Planet Earth.
Yes.
It's number 3 at the box office.
Wow.
And I do a sort of a Beatles voice. 2 of them, actually. Space aliens. You talk about Beatles.
You could tell I was feeling competitive about my my burgeoning film career.
So hopefully I'll have some nice residuals from that.
Hello now. Somebody's buying flirtinis. Okay. 17 minutes after
the hour. Zero Dark Thirsties.
18 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Taking back God. Taking back the flag. Taking back America. And all before breakfast. It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I know. When you say which of us didn't turn our phone off, you're implying which one of us is old and doddering and bink. Oh, me.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
I looked over at my phone and I hadn't silenced mine either, so.
All right.
But
see,
mine didn't make the noise.
No one calls me at 6:23 in the morning, so I'm not worried about it.
I got all kinds of stuff going on. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. What did somebody say on the Twitter machine?
Oh, they're looking forward to your Razzie acceptance speech next year.
Thank you. I've been practicing.
In this business, the price of success is very high, especially for a woman. I don't suppose I'm the only one who's had to f*** her way to the top.
Oh.
Oh. Well, the middle right now.
Sure.
Look, it's a love letter from my director.
Oh.
So I'm sorry it was such a tough day for you. I was not at my best. I hadn't slept, and I was...
drunk.
Right. I've reviewed all of your footage. You were perfect. You looked gorgeous. You were funny. Exactly right. You wouldn't know it from where you were standing. The light was actually quite perfect. We were in a... what's the thing where it looks like it should be a river, but it's not? Oh, a wash. We were in a lovely wash in Culver City. Couldn't have been more glamorous and exotic.
You were in a culvert in Culver City.
I was in a culvert.
Culvert City.
Very, very, very... exotic film locations. Living dream. I'm living a dream here in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, in Culver City.
The light was actually quite perfect and beautiful, and with the camera we shoot with the gorgeous, expensive German Zeiss lens, you look like you could get carted.
Zeiss.
And you were funny. You're going to be very funny in this. I think you'll be very proud of it. You're in a scene with George Clooney, for heaven's sakes. Much love and thanks.
You know, you were dating...
my director! Oh. I did when she first asked me to do it. I said, you don't just want me for my car, right? That amount calling.
Wow.
And she said, no, we really want you. And I said, okay, back to the dead monkey funeral.
You were in Culver City, so close to the oil wells of Baldwin Hills.
I have some more letters from my fans to read. Be in the culvert momentarily. All right. Yeah, it was really it was like the butt of Los Angeles. Yeah. It was literally...
You brought your script for Salome, the remake of Salome, tied in a ribbon. Yeah, produce this.
And Buster Keaton was playing cards.
And we had to keep pausing for, like, people on scooters. And I'm like, what is this? Scooters, I'm shooting here. Silence.
Scooters, like...
Yeah, like,
old people scooters?
You know, and you're in the middle of the gym and be like, your best take. I'm like, well, that was great. And then, all right, hold. We have to hold, everybody.
Like hover rounds?
I don't know. Scooters that make noise.
Like for old people or for young people?
Why couldn't they clear that wash while I'm shooting my scene? Look at me. I already have an attitude.
They'll fix it in
morning.
Post.
They can't fix me in post. Don't you wish you could do that in life?
Okay. Oh, God, yeah.
We'll fix that later.
Oh, boy.
That's nothing.
Sure.
1-800.
Fix that disastrous decision later.
Why can't life be more like Hollywood? Why can't there be green screen and
Vaseline
it in
on
post?
The lens?
Yes. Vaseline on every lens. All right. Monette in Oregon, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
you.
Hi, go ahead.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good, go ahead.
All right, I just wanted to talk about austerity.
Yes.
I really don't think that it's something that we should be doing as a country. I think that we should be trying to make sure that every political party has their own view, and we should be taking that into consideration, even though I'm not a Republican, but I feel like we should be making sure that their views are still heard, because at the end of the day, we have to deal with them, you know? And if we don't deal with them, then we're just as bad as they are.
Well, yeah, although, you know, it's just, Manette, the thing we always talk about on the show is it's both sides are not equal in this. They just aren't,
absolutely.
You know? I mean, this really is just, by the way, who I'm loving more and more and more, Michael Tomasky in the Daily Beast?
Yes.
Do you read him?
Uh-huh.
I just thought that sounded sophisticated to say, do you read him? Okay. he just writes, I think he writes really great stuff, but and again, it's not like this is a new theme, like this is not my dad in Goldwater's Republican
right.
Party, not Reagan's, not even George W. Bush's, but it literally is a great piece about how far right they've gone, and not just that, but how ungovernable they've made things, and I'm not saying every Democrat's right all the time, but anyway, he writes deluded Republican reformers. He says, as I've written many times, the conventional view of what's wrong with the GOP, because there's all these stories now
mm-hmm.
everywhere, gets at only a portion of the truth. The story inevitably focuses on policy positions, immigration, same-sex marriage, climate change. Tinker with these positions. Several sages are quoted as saying the GOP will be back in the game. God knows policy positions are a problem, but they're not the problem. They're not the They're not the problem, he says. The problem is that the party is fanatical, a machine of rage, hate, and resentment. People are free to scoff and pretend it isn't so, but I don't think honest people can deny we've never seen anything like this in the modern history of our country. There's a symbiosis of malevolence toward the extreme parts of the GOP base and Washington lawmakers, and it is destroying the Republican Party. That's fine with me, although I'm constantly mystified as to why it's all right with the people I'm talking about.
Well,
it's also destroying the country and our democratic institutions and processes, which is not fine with me. The party can change all the position it wants, but until people stand up and yell stop to this fanaticism, it won't mean anything. And he makes a great, well, I'll do it when we get back, but she makes a great analogy about a family at the Thanksgiving table and, you know, how you're ignoring the obvious.
Yeah,
anyway,
well, because of gerrymandering, Republicans don't have to win elections anymore.
Right.
So they don't care.
Yeah, yeah, so they can be out of the step with every poll on every issue, I guess. 29 minutes after the hour, that and Representative John Yarmuth next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are crazy, Lemon, and the more talented they are, the crazier they are. I mean, look at
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Like you hear it, Washington Post headline, top Kentucky Dem predicts Ashley Judd will run for the Senate. Representative John Yarmuth says the actress will challenge Mitch McConnell. I wouldn't be surprised if she doesn't run at this point, Yarmuth said. I think in her own mind she made the decision to run, and she's doing the right thing and not ruffling any feathers along the way. Polling has shown her competitive with Mitch McConnell in Kentucky. Why only if we had access to top Democrats like that? Like, oh, look, it's Representative John Yarmuth.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, top Kentucky Dem.
You know, that's a small field right now. It's like the president says to me, oh, my favorite Kentucky Democrat. Yeah, I'm the only one.
Party of one.
You take what you can get.
Exactly.
That's exciting, though, about Ashley Judd. I mean, really, the polling is pretty close from what I'm told.
Well, absolutely. There was an independent poll done maybe 6 weeks ago that showed her within the margin of error against McConnell. He did his own poll a couple weeks ago, and this was bizarre. He basically surveyed his base. The sample was 60-something% conservative, 8% liberal, and normally they do like 38% conservative, 22% liberal. And even with that, he got to 49% against Ashley.
Right.
He still couldn't. Serving his bases didn't get to 50%. So you know, there's a lot of energy to retire him, and I think Ashley can capture that and ride that back to the Senate.
Karl Rove is a skirt already. They must be. They're already running ads against her.
It's a riot. I mean, no, Mitch is panicked, and you know, again, I think. Ashley has not told me that she's definitely made a decision to run, but I think it's very, very likely at this point.
Well, if she would, I'm sure that this top Kentucky Democrat would announce it first on
Stephanie Miller.
All right.
You bet. Yes.
Now, let's talk sequestration, because it's just I don't know what more to say about all of this. You know, you've even got Republican governors now screaming, saying you have got to do something about this, like the show's over, right?
Yes, I'm a little bit off message with my party on this. I say, just fix it.
Stop it.
We can do it in 5 minutes with one sentence.
Right.
And if everybody thinks it's such a bad idea, let's just stop it. We've won the argument that we always have tried to make, that significant cuts in federal spending damage the economy. We won that argument, so why do we mix the message by saying we need a balanced approach to deficit reduction, cuts, and revenue? Let's forget about that. We just won, so let's accept the victory.
Well,
you may be off message with the rest of your party, but you're on message with the rest of America, because the rest of America completely agrees with you.
But what does that mean, Representative, in terms of what we should do now, or how you do it when you have another party that is so intransigent?
I know, it's very, very difficult, and... You know, I think probably the most logical thing to do would be to delay the sequester, I mean, just practically speaking, to delay the sequester to March 27th, when we have to come up with a mechanism for funding the government for the end of the fiscal year, because we run out of money on the 27th of March. There's no more spending authority. So let's just wrap all of this issue into that debate, because right now we're having the same debate we had in 2011, and we had right before the end of the year the fiscal cliff debate, and we're going to have for the next 3.5 weeks anyway, and we'll have after that as we work on the budget for 2014. It's exactly the same debate, and I think the American people are rightfully confused, and I'm confused as to why we're doing this. As well,
that's what the president just said. He called for a 2-month delay in sequester cuts to create more time for the grand bargain style negotiation to coincide with the debt ceiling hike expected in May. You know, and as somebody writes, kicking the can isn't pretty, but there's little hope for a grand bargain this week, right?
There's no hope for a grand bargain this week.
Right.
And you know, and I have to call Speaker Boehner out on this. I mean, the idea that he's trying to wash his hands of this whole thing is ridiculous. First of all, he's the leader of the House of Representatives. That is an important role. And for him to say, well, the president and Harry Reid ought to get together and come up with a solution.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, to me, he's insulting himself. But
yeah. Why are you hitting yourself?
Yeah. But the other thing is, though, that the Republican conference in the House of Representatives enacted the sequester.
Right.
So 170-something members. It would not have passed without them. For him to try to lay it off on the
congressman, he said it's the president's sequester hashtag.
I know, and I didn't know the president had a vote in Congress.
Yeah,
I'm still trying to find in the small print of the Constitution where he gets the vote.
Well, I mean, you know, it is interesting. There's a lot of people talking about all the ways the sequester actually will impact people's lives. And I was saying, our friend Charlie Pierce is on, and now he wrote a great piece about how, look, this is all local news has time to cover. You know, so, I mean, I think in some ways, as you just said, I mean, Democrats have already won the PR, you know, battle here. So how do you see this playing out by Friday?
Well, I still think that we're going to get some kind of a delay in the sequester.
Yeah.
I think ultimately, you know, that the rational thing will ultimately happen at the very last minute after every other absurd solution is abandoned. That's what'll happen.
I mean, there's argument makes no sense, right? It's like the cuts are both no big deal and a disaster, and they're going to happen anyway, and it's the president's fault.
What?
I mean, they can't even stick to a coherent argument, can they?
No, exactly right. And, you know, unfortunately, I think we're helping him out a little bit. The Democrats are, because we're sending a mixed message as well. But they're not nearly as bad as theirs. And
right. I don't know why I intrinsically don't trust anything Karl Rove thinks of, but You saw that he proposed sequester cuts go forward as scheduled with a major shift, arguing that the Congress vote to give Obama the discretion necessary to make the cuts more intelligent. But, of course, he wants him to own any of the political consequences.
I mean, that is such a cynical and crazy idea. And, you know, that's not going to happen. So it's, you know,
nice try.
This is just another posturing thing, saying for the Republicans to try to appear reasonable. But that's not breaking through, I'm sure of that.
The best thing that could happen is for Boehner to keep talking.
Every time he goes on camera and says, if we lose jobs, so be it.
So be it.
Right.
I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, and of course, you know, we weren't in session last week when we could have actually been working on this. And I know the Speaker has criticized President Obama for playing golf in Florida a week ago Sunday, but Speaker Boehner was playing golf in Florida at the same time. They probably should have gotten together while they were down there. They could have played. They were on the opposite sides of Florida, but, you know, it's a pretty narrow state. They could have gotten together.
I forgot who said it, but someone in Congress said that there should be no golf, there should be no vacations until this thing is settled.
Right. You can't have your pudding till you meet.
Exactly. Yes.
Right. Well, I actually agree. We should not be. We should not recess at all until this thing is settled. And we've been in session now. This Congress has been in session for 7 weeks. We have actually had 10 days of official full business days in 7 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's Speaker Boehner again. They set the schedule.
Wow.
I love the talking points memo thing. If it appears to you the Democrats are approaching the Friday sequestration deadline with greater poise than the GOP, you're not mistaken. Democrats enjoy a massive PR advantage over the GOP. Voters are prepared to blame Republicans. The Democrats have an unusually steady message. Republicans are lurching from message to message as they try to futilely blame Obama for the sequestration's existence while contending the consequences won't be so dire, except where it will hollow out the military, and to argue just as futilely Obama's revenue demand is an act of duplicity. I mean, it's really, that's what I mean. And this is what's been happening with every issue. They don't have a coherent mission, you know, between the establishment and the Tea Party. They don't have a coherent message, right?
Right. And then for Speaker Boehner to get up yesterday and say the president shouldn't be campaigning with military today. I mean, this is a guy who supported a president who flew onto an aircraft carrier in a jumpsuit and declared a war over that lasted another 10 years.
Yeah.
But the president shouldn't go to talk to appear with our military.
Yeah. I mean, exactly.
And how could it be a campaign event if he can't run for a third term?
Well, exactly.
They seem to have forgotten that.
Yeah. I mean, this is the same thing they say every time. When the president speaks about issues that he ran and won on, that's him, I don't know, playing politics, campaigning, whatever. And, you know, so, I mean, is that your sense from the inside, Representative, that that's what's going to happen? There will be this delay? Because obviously we're in a game of chicken again.
We are in a game of chicken. And, you know, it may be Pollyannish thinking on my part, but there clearly is no confidence at all anywhere that I can see that there is any alternative to that. I mean, we are not going to come to any kind of agreement in the next 48 hours.
Right.
And which is basically what we have, because we recess again on Thursday afternoon.
Because you waited till the night before to write your term paper again, didn't you?
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely.
Me too. I know. Well, Representative, always great to check in with you on this, but it's it must be exhausting to be you, because it's exhausting to even cover these. It really is a manufactured Washington crisis again. Here we are, right?
It's the dumbest one I've seen yet in my 6-plus years.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and that's
absolutely silly.
That's saying something.
Right. You're right. The bar's getting higher and higher.
Let us know when Ashley Judd calls you.
Well,
okay.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks, Representative.
Take care,
talk to you soon, Representative John Yarmuth.
I love him every time he's on.
I love his Pollyanna-ishness.
Yep.
That's all about me. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
So I was quoting a little bit from Mike Tomosky in the Daily Beast, but it really is. I just want to. It's hard to find a different angle on why this is so different. This Republican Party is his. The title is "Deluded Republican Performers." And he's talking
reformers.
About reformers.
You said performers.
Right. Is there a difference?
Well.
They're doing a little skit for us again.
They're clowns.
Here to amuse you.
I'm some kind of clown here to amuse you?
But anyway, he just talks about their, you know, all these pundits writing pieces or on TV talking about what's wrong with the GOP and here's how you fix it and that they're all missing the point. He makes this great Thanksgiving analogy. He says they're like a family in deep denial at the Thanksgiving table. Guys debating the best way to cook Brussels sprouts is of marginal utility. Whether cousin Ruthie wears her hair this way or that way is not worth dwelling on. The overwhelming fact at hand is that Uncle Ralph is drunk again and he's being a belligerent, racist, homophobic ass again. And he's preventing any civility and progress from taking place. And it's been this way for four Thanksgivings in a row, and you're intentionally choosing to say nothing about it. I do not understand how they can watch this and let it happen to their party without saying anything. Just interesting stuff, but one of the examples he uses is what we've been talking about, the Hagel thing. He says, this past week we've had four Republican senators, Ted Cruz, Lindsey Graham, Kelly Ayotte, and Rand Paul, in essence demand that a cabinet nominee, Chuck Hagel, disprove rumors against him. It's one thing for Breitbart bloggers to do that, but senators using tactics that are straightforward McCarthyism? Like me, I'm sure many of you were aghast at those people who cheered John McCain when he lectured the parent of a son who was killed in the Colorado shooting. There was bloodlust in that cheer, just like the bloodlust in the booze back in the primary of that gay soldier.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any conservative writers thinking this kind of thing makes them sick and ashamed? Yeah, I mean, it was the way he handled it. This person just lost their child, and he's like, oh, straight talk for you. Assault weapons ban is not going to pass. It's like, oh, that was
sensitive.
Kind of response to... Anyway, we all know the problem. If it's Rush Limbaugh and his imitators and Roger Ailes and his network. They drive this hatred daily, and they intentionally misinform and lie. You think it's an accident that polls always find Fox viewers the least connected to empirical reality. Pushing this fury and constructing this alternate reality is great for business, but it's horrible for America.
Mm-hmm.
More great stuff from Michael Tomosky in the Beast, Daily Beast. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's something funny going on in talk radio. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
I just gave the girls a little beefcake because that was T-Bone leaving the studio.
Hey, what am I?
Nice pants. You can't see your ass. Okay, 1-800-STEP-1. Phone number toll free from anywhere. I didn't need anything. I just wanted to give the gals a little peek.
All right.
Okay, 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Kathleen in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kath.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Okay, give me a second. You know what's wrong with this country? We, the boss, the American people who hired these senators and hired these congressmen, we don't make them do their job. Boehner walks around and Boehner and the Republicans tell the American people what they want. The president go out and engage the American people, which he should, because we're the boss.
That's right.
And my thing is, if you don't do your job, the boss supposed to get rid of you. They're supposed to be working for us.
We pay their
salaries.
That's right. We give them
good health care. So why why is the boss, in this instance, being hurt and the employees is getting over like fat rats?
Thank you.
American people need to come out
in
all 50 states and protest, not clown, protest, and say, if you guys don't get your jobs done, then you all are out of there. Gerrymandering or whatever.
You're fired.
That's right. Thank you, Kathleen. Go, Kathleen. Kathleen for president.
Unfortunately, with Citizens United, the corporations are really the boss.
Yeah. And,
and we're screwed. But that was really a good rant.
And the Supreme Court is not going to be looking at corporate funding anytime soon. They turned down the offer to do so.
Would you like to know 8 ways the Republicans are ruining your life?
Sure.
All right, the sequester.
Only 8?
These are just for today.
The top 8.
No, just what this actually means with the sequestration. Hard to say, still. Yeah. I don't think Gary Abbey can say that. Here's my major concerns about sequestration. Okay, number one, stock up on meat now. It might not be available for long. The Food Safety and Inspection Service says it will be forced to furlough employees if cuts are enacted. The Agriculture Secretary said furloughing food inspectors would have a profound, indeed devastating effect on meat and poultry companies. Vegetarians, you're not exempted. More than 2,000 fewer types of food inspections would occur. A lot of risks of airborne foodborne on. Illnesses. Mm. Wouldn't that be fun? I just had one a couple weeks ago. It was awesome.
Great.
Wow. Oops, sorry. It's a little flashback. Sorry.
Is it airborne? Foodborne?
Exposure to foodborne illnesses. Pardon me.
I just picture all these little, you know, soldiers parachuting into your nostrils.
Right. Exactly. Get ready to tighten the belt on your small business. Anyone with a small business should fear the sequester. Loan guarantees provided by the Small Business Administration will be cut by up to $902 million. Number three, looking forward to visiting Yellowstone this summer?
Computer says no.
$110 million of the looming cuts would impact national parks across the country. Number four, actually just give up on traveling altogether just when you thought flying could not get any less pleasant. Mm-hmm. The FAA stands to furlough all 47,000 of its employees for one day for every two-week period. That would result in a reduction of 10% of the FAA's workforce. People like, you know, air traffic controllers. Not that that's...
No, don't need those.
Leading to reduced and delayed takeoffs, even slower security lines, and fewer flights.
We're getting closer to that libertarian paradise.
Right. It'd be more like just we'll all be like a bunch of, like, deputy amateur air controllers. I think that plane's too close. There's a plane. Hey!
That'd be a reason for screaming baby airlines.
Right. Right.
Just go ahead. Fly upside down.
Just be winging it.
It works in the movies.
Yeah. It turns out Washington did it. Just... All right. More than 2,700 schools would lose funding through the federal Title I program. In addition, federal funding for over 7,000 special ed teachers and aides would also be cut, as well as Head Start, early Head Start services. Coastal cities, lovely. Unless you're trained in disaster response, might be time to move. FEMA will be forced to cut an unspecified number of state and local grants that fund emergency responders. That doesn't seem that necessary, does it?
No.
Get an HIV test while it's still ugly. Ugly? Easy. Easy. Easy.
What?
I meant to say easy. Cuts to the AIDS...
Ugly.
No, easy. Cuts to the AIDS drug assistance program could result in the administration of 424,000 fewer HIV tests. Buy a hard hat, brush up on your rules for workplace safety, because inspectors for OSHA could be furloughed or even laid off.
Oh, God. That'll make our workplace even more dangerous than it is.
Country's most dangerous workplaces will get uninspected for extended periods of time.
Great. Thank you, Republicans. Thank you, Boner Quester.
I just lost my arm in a thresher. Thank you, Eric Cantor. Let's go to a...
like your accomplice there in the wood chipper.
Right. A lot of accidents in wood chippers. Hello, Jaberry. Am I saying that right in California?
Yes, you did perfectly.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, then.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
On this show.
Thank you.
And I want to preface this with saying that I'm for more gun control. I had a job where we had people come in with assault rifles and lift a bunch of TVs and corporate goods that were being shipped from China. And I think the GOP is willing to let us hit the sequestration for all the reasons you just listed to hurt the American people. And they know they don't have to pay political capital because they know that they have their gun crazy people who would never vote for the Democrats who are after their guns. So, I mean, that's why they're willing to let us go to the cliff, because I think it's a gamble they're willing to take. They took a gamble with Romney, didn't pay off. They took a gamble with all this other trying to mess up Obama's first term, didn't pay off. Now they can have a real opportunity to just mess up his recovery so that they can say he was an invalid president. He didn't do what other presidents came in to do. Mm-hmm. And the only price they would have to pay is nothing, because they know that all they have to do is say, hey, they're coming after your guns, and then all these crazy Republicans are going to come out voting for their guns.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, it was a startling moment that John McCain talking to a parent. Yeah. It's just, you know, that's who they become. There's nothing human. It's just about, oh, no, that's not going to happen. You can't possibly consider an assault weapons ban. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, back with Charlie Pearson, more on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com at the bottom of the hour. Some amazing stuff. Great stuff as usual. That he wrote this week in Esquire.com.
He's a great writer.
Great?
I know.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. We have smartest, funniest, prettiest people in the world on our show. Okay. And also.
And then there's us.
We have more screaming goat parodies than anyone else. Because, for whatever reason, our current fixation, the screaming goats on the interwebs. Mm-hmm. The Taylor Swift, and then last hour was a Bon Jovi. Mm-hmm. And now.
Four purple mountains, majesty, above the fruited plain. America. America, God shed his grace on thee.
Oh, boy. That came from Kenny Pick. He put that little thing together.
Stop it. Stop it. That was hard. Oh, boy.
Stop it. This is hard. You want to try it? Get in the ring. This is hard.
Ah! That was the help in her house.
Yeah.
Oh!
Ay, Dios mío.
Okay. Joe in Chicago, by the by. Guess what? Kenny Pick's going to be. Guess where he's going to be?
Chicago.
Sexy liberal. Can't wait to get groped. Steph, want my meet and greet tickets. Can't wait to meet you. Look for the 6'4" gay man clutching his pearls. I went to public school. How's my grammar? Perfect, Joe. It's perfect. He's going to be with all the other kids.
Me and the wife are fired up and ready to go.
You betcha we are.
Getting fired up, a Midwest sexy liberal.
I got the VIP meet and grope tickets for ya.
Jump in the snake, Hell Sparks and Stephanie.
This is just too cool.
There's John and Pam.
Oh my God, I love John and Pam.
I made him a jingle.
I know.
So
I look to my left, I look to my right.
Is that Ro Flair, Mary?
Oh my gosh.
That's Rocky Mountain Mike.
There's Marion Ann Arbor.
There's Kenny Pitt. I just hit the sexy liberal jackpot.
Oh, that's Steph. She's a cutie.
Oh, yeah. She's totes adorable.
She does have a nice booty. Check it out for yourself, sexy liberals.
Saturday, April 13th in Chicago.
Woo-hoo! It's gonna be a good time, don't you know?
Yay!
Thank you, kids. All right, so hurry. Sexy Liberal on Facebook and Twitter. You can go right to the Chicago Theater box office if you're in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Ticketmaster.
Right there at Staten Lake.
Right?
Yep.
Speaking of groping, now here is our people who grope themselves stack. A surprising number in public.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Man caught with his penis out in public says it's because his pants shrunk.
Right. Sure.
Good one. Nicely done. Nicely done. Quick thinking. Quick thinking there.
That's what causes goats to scream.
A man caught masturbating behind a convenience store.
As you do.
The most convenient place for him. Told an officer that his penis was only out because his pants had shrunk.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Officials stumbled across Scott Smith scrubbing the nub behind a Unimart.
Wait a minute, what? What?
I'm just reading the news.
That's not in the news story, is it?
It's a new one. I just hadn't heard it. I thought it was funny. When he spotted the officer, the 25-year-old whipped out his phone and claimed he was just trying to call his girlfriend. Also quick thinking.
Sure.
The officer asked why his penis was out in the open. He said his pants had shrunk.
And I keep my phone in my underwear.
He later allegedly admitted to masturbating outside the store, saying he did it because he was depressed.
Now he's under arrest.
Yeah, I wasn't. I'm just calling my girlfriend. My pants shrunk. Okay, I'm sad. I has a sad. That's when I scrub the nub.
Because I only have a nub.
Because I scrub it too much.
Oh, God.
It's very clean. It's very clean.
Fumbling for excuses. I'm a sad panda.
Electromagnetic field.
So I have to touch my bamboo. If you'll recall, the reporter felt the need to recount various, you know, ones that are worse than that.
Well, this is a reporter that uses the phrase, scrub the nub, so.
Right.
It's not the rude pundit, is it?
No.
In November, as we'll recall, a Seattle man was caught, quote, in the throes of self-flagellation in an alley when cops told him to give a rest. He refused to stop, saying he was almost finished. Hold on.
Don't bother me.
Hold on.
Don't bother me. Almost there.
Okay.
That's oh, like, I thought of baseball.
That's when I used to have the evening radio show, and a lot of guys would call and go, can you just keep talking for another minute?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, really? Do you have to call a talk radio show? Really?
Can you send me a
just
new
keep
picture?
Talking. Can
the
you see my name?
The dirty.
Yeah. No. Oh, sorry. That's not what I meant. I meant
see,
something
you can
else.
Never be in charge of your own box.
No, I'm not in charge of my own box. I should not be.
No.
You'll be behind a 7-Eleven.
Controlled by somebody. All right. My point was last month. See, these
your box.
These are all stories that make me feel like less of a loser. Last month, Gregory Matthew Bruni. Let's see. Oh, this is the guy. He showed up on the roof of a couple's house completely naked. Remember this guy?
Mm.
Cops said he leapt down, punched the homeowner before masturbating and pooping on the floor inside the house, and then he drank the contents of a vacuum cleaner.
Duh! What? Huh? How do you drink?
I am not that weird.
Unless it's a wet dry vac.
Oh, I guess.
Ooh, ah! Yeah.
Wow.
I'm guessing either bath salts or meth were involved.
Gotta be bath salts.
Yeah.
How about the gal we did last week having sex with the pit bull in her yard?
Yeah.
Mm. And the cops came in and she said, hi.
Hi.
And then went back to the aforementioned sex act with the, hi, I'm almost done here.
I think there was a little meth mouth involved there, too.
I like the guy that said he's almost... I'm almost finished. Hold that thought.
Don't talk about baseball or Margaret Thatcher.
Almost
Margaret
there.
Thatcher playing baseball.
Ah!
Oh, now look what you did.
Great.
That was perfectly good wood. Okay.
You wasted perfectly good wood.
Margaret Thatcher naked on a trampoline.
Oh, God.
Okay. Ernest Borgnine, Spread Eagle. Oh, damn it. Really?
Just the eyebrows alone in that visual. Good Lord.
Okay. Lana in Wisconsin. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Lana. It's like the sock puppet in the Oscar skit.
Yes.
Hi, Lana.
Hey, Mama.
Hello, baby.
I love your T-shirt.
Thank you.
I like it even more if Jim threw some water on it.
Oh, well, hello now. Good morning, Lana. What's happening?
What is happening?
What's happening today?
I don't know.
I think there's some numb scrubbing going on. Go ahead, Lana.
You guys are all dirty. Some really cool news. There's an update in the Associated Press style book regarding same-sex marriages. It will now say, regardless of sexual orientation, husband or wife is acceptable in all references to individuals in any legally recognized marriage.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, Associated Press.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
I know.
So now I'm just waiting for them to add the proper use of Ermigerd to it.
Ermigerd, exactly. Ermigerd, Mr. and Mrs. Mrs. and Mrs. Ermigerd.
Here's my husband.
In the wharf.
Okay. Who do we decide is our favorite guest that has the best Ermigerd name?
Erg Brüller.
Ermigerd, it's Erg Brüller. What are you, Billy?
Ditch Meat Show.
I'm not sure why. I feel like we've been on a downward spiral for quite some time.
Yes, we have.
I do. Okay.
The downward spiral.
Okay. You know what it is? Probably because I have a big head because of my new film career.
Yes, that's what it is.
Queen of the culprits.
In Melissa Fitzgerald's dress, as you were saying. She wasn't in it, too.
No, she wasn't.
I wish. But but you said
you're
going
to have to call and apologize for that comment now.
Sorry. She's listening. Melissa, I'm sorry. I know you're straight. Okay. No, you were saying Jeff was talking about that dress. That's quite a history.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, either she or I are in a photograph in it in every inauguration
event. Everywhere.
Every red carpet.
Yeah.
And now I'm in the film in that. Yeah.
Jeff was wondering if it's been dry cleaned.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Good.
Well, I only worked for, my scene was not long yesterday. It was only 10 minutes.
Right. But it's been used so much that has it had time to go to the dry cleaners?
Well, I wasn't doing anything in the last stack in it. I just talking for a few minutes. Okay. All right. She's a, yeah, she's a, you know, she's a, she's an issue kind of girl. She invites me to all this kind of stuff. The other day she called and said, do you want to go to a dinner party about, what was it, genocide with me? I was like, yes. Wow. Party. That's great. Yes, I do. Woot.
Is that really the sort of thing you have a party about?
Well, it's not. No, it's just there were various people involved.
I see.
In various,
okay.
Working against it, that.
I see.
Not
okay.
For it. It's the pro-genocide dinner. It's people that are involved in working on various serious issues to make things better in the world.
I can't believe you just said the words pro-genocide dinner.
It's a bunch of people that are rooting for genocide. Well, no. Well, she's involved in working on serious issues. She did a film about Uganda.
I guess when Idi Amin is still around, every dinner was a genocide dinner.
Right. Wow, he didn't go to Hitler. He went to
Idi Amin.
Right. Idi Amin.
All right. He went to the cannibal. That's good.
You know what?
All right.
We did not see that coming, Jim. Okay. Speaking of hot, smart, funny actresses, Kerry Washington, who played Idi Amin's wife,
that's
has been
right.
on our show.
That's right. Love her.
I bet you she's been to some pro-genocide, but they were fictional dinners.
And she looked gorgeous at the Oscars.
Oh, my God.
Because she's
amazing.
In Django Unchained.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie. Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I went all Max Headroom there for a minute.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. This is how we're brought to you by GoToMyPC. Access your entire work computer from your smartphone or tablet like I do with the GoToMyPC mobile apps. They're amazing. I want you to try GoToMyPC free for 45 days for my special offer. GoToMyPC.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Enter the promo code Stephanie.
Not GoToMyPC.
No.
That comic doesn't exist anymore.
It doesn't?
Well, leave me alone. I am that. Worried about the
I haven't got the paper in a long time.
We can't just cut our way to prosperity. Cutting alone is not an economic policy. We've got to make the tough, smart choices to cut what we don't need so that we can invest in the things that we do need.
Like bridges that don't collapse.
Yeah, they're all over the place. The Republicans are like, oh, the president's just fear-mongering. All these cuts are going to be a disaster. But they're not that big a deal, but they're his fault.
Yeah.
If they are, in fact, a disaster.
Then
he's campaigning and fear-mongering in the meantime. Okay.
It's no big deal, except it's a catastrophe.
That's right. It involves Homeland Security. Okay. Janet,
I don't think we can maintain the same level of security at all places around the country with sequester.
You know what that means?
So be it.
Screaming goats everywhere. Not just in Taylor Dane or Taylor, what's her name? Taylor Swift videos.
Taylor Dane.
I'm old. Taylor Dane just pops out. It's the Taylor Swift.
Yeah, what are you going to come up with next? The Jane Child reference?
Or Julia Child.
Or well.
Oh, my. Mark in West Virginia. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mark.
Hey, good morning, Steph.
Good
How
morning.
Are you doing?
Good.
I'm 57 years old and I'm confused because I've been watching this politics for years and these Republicans keep coming back with this, how they're going to save the world and they're worried about the, I just didn't realize there was that many rich people in this world.
Yeah, they're not. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, we're not kidding when we say they're the less than 1% of us. And this is what they're fighting for. What did somebody say? Like, to keep loopholes for people with private jets and yachts.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I mean, it's incredible. And meanwhile, by the way, sequester misfire. Eric Cantor, he fires off a press release entitled "Mr. President, Spending is the Problem in Washington," arguing, offering an apparently useful list of waste, fraud, abuses, duplication as prime candidates for the chopping block, which is true. The president has said that there is waste, fraud, and abuse. There are places that obviously we can cut. So one of the things he added, he puts out there, a lot of those things that make the taxpayer go, oh, my God. He said the National Science Foundation spent $1.2 million paying seniors to play World of Warcraft to study the impact it had on their brains. The good folks over at PolitiFact gave Cantor a pants on fire for that claim. Instead, finding a 2009 grant was given to fund studies looking at how to improve seniors' cognitive abilities in World of Warcraft was never involved.
No mas
pantalones. The study in question cost $5,000 and was funded entirely by my alma mater.
$5,000? That's outrageous. I won't pay it.
one of the scientists involved. Why let the facts get in the way of a good talk radio outrage story?
Wow.
If the core of the GOP congressional approach is closing deficits solely through wasteful domestic cuts, of which there should be many worthwhile candidates, the question is, why do you have to lie to make your
right.
point? So the one he picks is a lie. Okay.
Wow.
All right. All I'm interested in funding is more screaming goat studies.
Now I'm lying on the cold, hard ground.
Okay, if there is a God, someone will send me a Taylor Dane song with screaming goats as well. Okay, George in Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, George.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Yes, hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My comment is when the historians, the people that write the history of the United States, it would say that that President Obama will be one of the best presidents in the United States because of the Congress blocking the people's presidents going forward.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you. You know, they'll go back and they'll look at the polling and go, how come there's a president that got reelected, reelected in a landslide, got elected twice in landslides?
Sure.
Polling showed the people were behind him on every issue, and he had this magical congressional, this magical Republican Congress. They will go down in history. Yes, they will. They will be the screaming goats of congressional history.
Yes, they will.
I believe. Let's go to Ann in Cleveland real quick. Hi, Ann. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. This is Ann.
Hi.
My husband and I watch your show every day, you know, religiously.
Aw, thank you.
Anyway, I'm calling because my question was, everybody's allowed to carry a gun, and only the good guys with the gun are going to handle the bad guys with the gun.
Right.
Then how come we have, the government has, I'm nervous, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right.
The government has metal detectors. So we can't go into the House of Representatives with our Uzis, and they have their concealed weapons to protect themselves.
Yep, exactly. Good points. You did great. Don't worry. 29 minutes after the hour, right back with Charlie Pierce on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's a pretty strange acting female.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. You know, our listeners are comprised of a group of people that, if it's to be believed, are even less mature than we are. Do we need screaming goats with Howard Dean? Yes, we did.
We're going to California and Texas and New York. And we're going to South Dakota and Oregon and Washington and Michigan. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House.
Okay, thank you.
Wow.
We'll
all right.
That. Awesome.
Sounds just like the real thing.
Almost.
All right. Jim, who said, the pundit in me would like to see targeted sequestration, so if the two senators from Kentucky don't want to fund the government, then let's shut down Fort Knox and move it to San Francisco. But the former government official in me knows you can't, and this president won't. That's way beneath him. Who said that?
William Howard Taft.
No. Paul Begala.
Oh.
Speaking of really smart guys that say really smart, funny things, there's only one man now that understands, and that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
Hi, I sprained my ankle. Kristen Chenoweth was trying to interview me, and I tripped and tried to bend over and fell down. Didn't you think Adele was going to, like, eat her?
Adele towered over Kristen Chenoweth.
A little snack.
Eat her with
she
one
like
bite.
A little sausage.
Yeah.
There wasn't even a head there. There was just sort of a microphone popping out of the bottom of the
There was.
We've interviewed her. She's delightful.
But Ken Cuccinelli was watching in Virginia and said, that's what I'm talking about right there. That microphone thingy, see?
Charlotte Pierce, as usual, you say the most brilliant things on every subject, particularly the sequestration. Why? Because you're Charlie Pierce.
Thank you.
You say, and your piece is entitled Tonight on iCenter Witness News, you say the administration made a sharp play. Releasing a list of how the upcoming sequester plague is going to affect each individual state. You'll note the predominance of red states with Republican governors in the top 20. Oh, are you okay, Charlie Pierce?
Uh-oh. Did we lose him?
Hello? Oh, yes, no. We did. Uh-oh.
He tripped again.
Good trip. Kristen Chenoweth tripped him. What happened? All right, we'll get him. Oh, they're calling him right back.
Yeah.
At any rate, but this is what I've been quoting from, as I do, I was quoting earlier in the show that this is what Charlie is saying. The Republicans aren't, in terms of this PR battle, they aren't looking at
right.
it. That there's local news everywhere, and these are infecting local, state, and local projects everywhere, mm-hmm. which is why the governors are screaming like goats, is my point. Anyway, but he writes there's not unexpected bleeding coming from John Boehner's office as they duck phone calls from the district and hide behind either the curtains or behind Bob Woodward's reputation, whatever's handiest. Charlie Pierce, are you all right?
Oh, Kristen Chenoweth hit me in the knee with a...
Oh, that...
Shillelagh.
With a
bitch.
Microphone that looked like a transvaginal probe.
Yes, yes. Tanya Harding sent her.
Why?
Now...
Why?
So anyway, but you were talking about how the local news is going to cover all this. You say this is where the Republicans can probably lose this gamble in a big way because they don't appear to see what the administration's greatest ally in this isn't the cadre of people it can muster to the Sunday shows. It's the local TV news. It's what's left of local newspapers, right? You say that's how the Republicans have come to decide that there's some coherence in the position, that cuts don't really matter, except in that they are both cataclysmic and the president's fault. They can sell that in a green room. But as you say, none of those people have the 35 minutes of air to fill every night before Jeopardy comes on like the local stations do.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you're going to wind up seeing weeping toddlers at the gates of closed national parks and empty airport terminals and,
yeah.
you know, Head Start classrooms that are closed and you're going to see, you know, dozens of, you know, ordinary citizen slice of life stories in local newspaper columns and stuff. And I think that's what's going to create the critical mass. I don't think, you know, a lot of these people like to pretend.
Yeah.
That what they're standing up against is the tyrannical jackboot of government. But the problem with it that they don't tell anybody or they try not to remember is the jackboot is full of cash. You know,
yeah.
it's not an empty jackboot. It's not filled with someone's foot. It's filled with money. And they're all lining up for it. And that's why I thought what the president did yesterday, which was to release his estimation of what the sequestration cuts will mean to each state, was a pretty good move.
Well, and as we were saying, even obviously the Republican governors are saying to their colleagues, come on, the show's over. this is really going to hurt.
Well, some of them are. I mean, Jindal seems to be willing to go down with the ship.
Yeah.
I think, you know, when you see Rick Scott saying, yeah, we're going to take the Medicaid money. Yeah, we're going to do that. You know, my approval ratings is headed down towards that enjoyed by Mange. So, you know, I'll be taking that money. Thanks. And, you know, with any luck, I can, you know, steal some of it. Oh, geez, allegedly steal some of it.
And you talked about Bob Woodward's piece. He's a lot of buzz in which he blamed the president for the sequester horror. You say he was mildly but seriously reproved in several quarters for neglecting to point out that the whole spit and duct tape contraction was devised to try and keep the government running, despite the best efforts of congressional Republicans to shut the whole thing down and open a tattoo parlor. yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is I think that it's not just the polls that are showing. Republicans are going to take the blame for this.
I think you're right, and I mean, I'll be interested to see if the polls are in any way accurate for this, or whether or not we get a. I mean, it's going to get spun in the national media as a pox on both their houses. But I think you know, out in the field, I really do believe that the president's managed to sell this as you know, look, we agreed to this really stupid plan, you know, among a number of stupid plans we've agreed to, because we've got one party that isn't interested in governing the country very much.
Well, and as you point out, too, none of their position doesn't even make sense. You say, you know, you talk about Jindal began by stating, on Meet the Press, I think it was, began by stating the essential Republican position on the sequester, which can be summed up as A, none of these cuts matter a damn, but the president is blamed for the catastrophe that will be wrought by the cuts that don't matter a damn. I mean, it really is totally incoherent.
Yeah, to be fair, there are some Republicans who are pointing out that this is really going to be horrible and that they'd rather do this in some sort of targeted way, which of course they never specify. But there are some people who are actually holding to the position that it's no big deal, but it's going to be a big deal if they can blame it on the president.
Yeah, Yeah. Well, you know, we just had Congressman Yarmuth on, and he, at least what he's thinking is they're going to do what the president said. They're going to kick the can down the road for 2 months until the debt ceiling debate again.
Oh, good. Another fight. Because right. MSNBC can have another little clock in the corner.
Yes, everyone wins. By the way, I loved your, you and I both, we tend to suddenly pay attention and perk up our Scooby-Doo ears when David Gregory does anything that seems to approach journalism. But I loved when he held up the two charts, right, of, things in Massachusetts and things in Louisiana when he had Jindal and Deval Patrick on.
Yeah, we don't like to see our governor punching down the way he had to on Meet the Press, but I thought he did a very good job.
You say it didn't stumble into actual substance until the dancing master lined up the two governors in their respective states, whereupon we discovered Massachusetts has no oil, but Louisiana has people working 15 jobs because freedom. And then Jindal trying to explain why those statistics aren't really bad, right?
Well, yeah, because they have they're moving up to like 31st in job creation or something, and all of this other stuff. And Deval Patrick explained that, well, in Massachusetts we have like schools and roads and things, and we're not giving state money to schools that are teaching you Jesus rode a dinosaur, and we're going to try to raise taxes a little bit so our bridges don't fall down.
Right.
And by the way, if the height of your ambition is to work the crab shack in New Iberia, you're doing fine.
Yeah.
I love the way you write about, well, both Carly Fiorino and Peggy Noonan, but you say this week, Our Lady of the Dolphins. That's how you refer to Peggy Noonan. She was on because possibly Carly Fiorina was off cratering a company or something. but you say Noonan was more than happy to expand on the president she has fashioned out of the expired Chardonnay and an old bong water of her imagination.
Yeah, I mean, all of a sudden, you know, Barack Obama, who's probably the most chaos-averse president I've ever seen, is this master of disaster who creates chaos out of which he can fashion his socialist agenda. I mean, it's astonishing to me. This is Peggy Noonan's new argument.
Yeah.
That the president has created the dysfunction in government and has done it deliberately and is doing it so that he can capitalize on it.
I don't know what this is going to be more a style than substance. I just love the way she talks when she's in her zone. You know what I mean? Like, she closes her eyes. She's not really looking at anybody. She's she's so impressed with her own words. She's just
she has entered the rapture when the index finger goes thoughtfully up by the cheekbone.
Right.
That's when she's passed from the corporeal realm and is now floating among the angels and the singing dolphins. Yes.
She is like many of my radio colleagues, just so in love with the sound of her own voice. She's in her own little symphony.
She's like every
symphony of words.
She's like every Catholic girl I dated in high school who, like, you know, kept the aspirin where it belonged.
You make another good point about Kelly Ayotte. You say she would follow McCain and Graham up a river in Papua New Guinea. If they stop short in line at Starbucks, she tumbles into the back of them and everyone falls down. Yeah. How did they enlist her for everything, whether it's Hegel or...
She wants a national profile, and she didn't want to. She wants to get reelected in New Hampshire again, so she's not going to follow Rand Paul or one of the other crazy people. So she found two people that were looking for a mentoree, and were considered to be not crazy.
Yeah.
And that turned out to be John McCain and Lindsey Graham, and they've led her down the Benghazi, the Benghazi Boulevard to the point where she's as incoherent about it as they are. I mean, she said, I actually went to Virginia. Wow, really? No kidding.
It's like they had
stamp your passport?
McCain and Graham had
some local crafts from the natives?
McCain and Graham was like they had a meeting. Let's beat the crap out of Hillary Clinton, but we're going to look like sexist pigs. Let's get a girl.
Let's find a dame. Let's find an Ayotte dame.
There ain't nothing like a dame.
Exactly. Charlie Pierce.
I love handing Jim Ward song cues.
Yes. There you go.
And he'll always run with them.
He's an old showman.
Song cue, you're welcome.
All right. Charlie Pierce, love you, honey. See you next week.
That's a terrible joke. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
On that note.
CharliePierceEsquire.com. All right. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Finally, talk radio you can dance to. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Put a screaming goat in everything, can't you?
I don't have a screaming goat. I had to use... All right.
The screaming goats have to prove their love?
We just wanted a screaming goat in every Taylor song. Taylor Dane, Taylor Swift.
Sure. Mm.
Mick Taylor. Right? James Taylor.
I don't think it'd go into James Taylor song.
50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Talking sequestration. Janet Napolitano. Homeland Security.
We're going to do everything we can to minimize that risk, but the sequester makes it awfully, awfully tough.
Homeland Security. That's not important.
Air traffic controllers.
Food safety inspectors.
Yep.
Whatever. Okay. Paul Begala, I was quoting before, wrote, a pox on one of their houses because, I'm sorry. I know I understand he's on one side of the partisan divide, but it's really true. He's mm-hmm. The crisis is not both parties' fault. It's the Wolf Blitzer, we'll have to leave it there rule.
We'll have to leave it there.
Both sides do it. Everyone's exactly equally to blame. Why won't the president lead? Why won't the president get out of the way?
Why doesn't he get out of the way by leading?
Paul writes, the conventional wisdom of the Republicans won't support any more tax increases. Democrats won't support any more spending cuts. That's half right. House Democrats have proposed some sensible spending cuts, like doing away with the billions we spend subsidizing oil companies with gas nearing $4 a gallon. Does anyone really want to send taxpayers' money to the welfare queens at ExxonMobil? House Dems would also enact the Buffett rule. I prefer Romney rule, ending the obscenity in the tax code that lets hedge fund managers pay a lower tax rate than their secretaries. Not to be outdone, Senate Democrats have proposed $110 billion in spending cuts and tax increases, again reducing oil subsidies, ending the deduction businesses for moving jobs overseas, trimming the defense budget and farm subsidies. Mm-hmm. The Democrats have come to the table with spending cuts. Will the Republicans join them and support some tax increases? No. That's so Paul Begala very, succinctly sums it up. That's
He's
why.
Good.
Exactly. Okay. Representative Jerry Conley, Democrat, Virginia.
There are going to be real consequences for anybody who travels in America, for anyone who comes into a port in America, and for the people who screen us to make sure we're safe.
Yeah. Okay. So, and see, then something will happen, and then the Republicans will say, look what the president did. He failed to keep you safe.
Yes.
Okay.
The mom's going to kill you.
The boner.
The president says we have to have another tax increase in order to avoid the sequester. Well, Mr. President, you got your tax increase. It's time to cut spending here in Washington. Instead of using our military men and women as campaign props, the president was serious. He'd sit down with Harry Reid.
He's not serious. He's campaigning for a third term. Why? You can't do that? Oh.
Jan in Massachusetts.
More bourbon!
Jan in Massachusetts. When in doubt, more bourbon.
More bourbon.
Jan in Massachusetts. Hi, Jan.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I hope I don't sound too bad. I'm lying down. I'm mostly bedridden with a bad back. That's okay. Rand Paul, three times in the last 3 days, has spoken about, of course, the sequester. Saying it's a stipend, and the last one was the cuts weren't deep enough. Months ago, are you still there?
Yep.
Months ago, I caught part of a Rachel Maddow show, and she had brand new school textbooks going to these so-called privatized schools. I don't know what state it was. I don't recall that. But in the book, they were teaching the children that there were no such thing as poor people or poverty.
Wow.
Wow.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yes, of course. But they've eradicated that problem because, of course, Republicans care so much about the poor. Okay. Oh, is this, this is more important news. Kenny Pick? Has Kenny Pick sent us?
No.
Okay. Well, because Taylor Swift, not really of my generation, I'm more of a Taylor Dane girl. I'm just saying, why? Why not?
Tonight, I really need to know.
Right.
To my
Thank you. Thank you, Kenny Pick. Thank you.
Wow.
I can feel your body rock. That was some songwriting. Okay.
Really?
Prove your love. Got to prove you love.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Oh, we have a little announcement to make.
Oh, yes. What is it? What's happened?
Okay, if you have this Stephanie Miller app that's available for your iPhone or iPad,
right,
download the update now. Because our number one request you can now have, you can play the Stephanie Miller Show in the background while you're doing other things on your phone.
Wow.
Why do you need to do other things on your phone? Just listen to me. Listen to me.
Okay. That means you can go to the Steph store and buy Steph crap while you're listening.
All right. Well, that's important. Okay. Or sexy liberal tickets or sex.
Exactly.
Sexy liberal.
But that is the number one
Steph crap?
Right. That is right. The number one request we got for the app. And it is now available. Just download
that
the update.
That is spectacular.
So there you go. Yay.
Okay. So we've been talking about sequestration. While Congress has enjoyed a lovely midwinter vacation, isn't that nice?
Mm.
The American people have been treated only to a sight of a slow-motion car crash combined with finger-pointing. That's what the analogy I made, right, Chris? I'm like, it's like we're driving off a cliff, and we're arguing over, it's your fault, we went this way, I didn't...
Drove us into a lake.
Yeah, there's a cliff, but look, it's your fault. Just somebody hit the brake or turned the wheel or something.
Whatever.
Just get Toonses in there.
Exactly. Republicans are Toonses. President Obama is, Representative Yarmuth was telling us earlier, has called for a 2-month delay in sequester cuts. He thinks that's what's going to happen. We'll see. Kicking the can down the road isn't pretty, but there's little hope for a grand bargain this week. Karl Rove, nice trick. Mm. He's trying to give Obama more discretion to make the cuts, but the sequester go forward. Isn't that something? So he'll get all the blame.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. Senate Democrats, they find $110 billion in savings over the next year split between spending cuts and tax revenue. I just went down the Paul Begala thing. That's the thing. It's just, it is not both sides. They have offered spending cuts, the Democrats and the president.
Mm-hmm.
So Republicans, argue they've already passed an alternative to the sequestration, but their test barely passes the laugh test. It's proposed exempting defense from cuts entirely and thus gutting domestic spending, knowing this is a complete non-starter. Yeah. You know, so they can say, well, we put a plan forward. Look at our bourbon-soaked plan.
Burr.
Okay, the boner.
Listen, hope springs eternal.
Burr.
The president can sit down with Harry Reid tonight and work with Senate Democrats who have the majority in the Senate. To move a bill. It's time for them to act. I've made this clear for months now, and yet we've seen nothing.
What do you mean them? That's what Charlie Pierce said. I'll be at the tavern. I hope you two can.
But it's like, they have to do it.
Somebody needs to lead.
God, he kicked the can to the other side of the Capitol Hill. Holy crap.
His little buddy Eric Cantor.
Yeah.
The president really ought to stop campaigning and come back to the table and work with us. We care about what happens to this economy and the people who sent us here.
Could he sound any more smarmy and
more
insincere?
Unctuous? Yeah.
Baby, I really care about you, I swear. Oh, my God.
Sounds like you've heard that before.
Yeah, right.
You're lying, sack of crap.
You did that a little too well.
Stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
Message, I care.
Whatever.
Okay, 58 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is me. Sorry, I've been listening to entirely too many goats screaming. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800.
Weirdest meme. Oh my God.
That's what the internet is made for. Weirdness. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. Oh, this is big news.
What?
Dozens of prominent Republicans have signed a legal brief arguing that gay people have a constitutional right to marry, a position that amounts to a direct challenge to the boner.
Wow.
And reflects a civil war in the party since the November election.
And there are prominent people like Ileana Ross-Layton and Meg Whitman. They both signed it.
Yeah, right.
They're prominent Republicans.
Right. So yeah. Anyway, but we're having Matt Breen on.
Yes.
From The Advocate to talk about that.
Yes, at the bottom of the hour.
All right. Oh, huh, which is interesting because I was reading a piece about Bobby Jindal, well-known exorcist. He said this weekend, basically, Republicans can win by still opposing LGBT rights. He said Sunday Republicans could win elections while continuing to discriminate against gay people because they're an aspirational party with a vision for private sector growth. But no gays are allowed to play in our reindeer games.
Hmm.
By the way, John Huntsman, he argued that Republicans must, he just wrote a column, it was very interesting. He said Republicans must support marriage equality because the American people will not hear us out if we stand against their friends, family, and individual liberty.
Hmm.
He said, he wrote, among other things, today we have an opportunity to do more. The conservatives should start to lead again and push their states to join the 9 others that allow all their citizens to marry. I've been married for 29 years. My marriage has been the greatest joy of my life. There's nothing conservative about denying other Americans the ability to forge that same relationship mm-hmm. with the person they love.
Wow.
David Gregory asked Jindal if he agreed that equal marriage was a conservative value. He said, look, I believe in the traditional definition of marriage. Let's be clear about one man, one woman, and an exorcist. Let's be clear about
one man, one woman, and the devil.
And Satan.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's be clear about what happened in this last election. We had an election that was dominated by domestic issues. We lost an election where a majority of American people said we won't think of the federal government's doing too much. We lost that election because we didn't present a vision showing how we believe the entire economy can grow, how people can join the middle class. No, we heard your message. We got it. We don't want
like
it. Right.
You can take it
he
back.
He said we're an aspirational party. Meaning they're not a good party yet, but they aspire to be.
You mean the rich? The rich aspire to keep as much of their money as they...
We aspire to not be stupid,
yeah.
But we're not there yet.
Yeah.
And we need policies that are consistent with that aspirational private sector growth. Whatever. Whatever.
Blah, 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 yada, yada, yada.
Blah, blah. Does that mean when you're ready with this, since we're
yes.
since we're on religious matters and exorcists?
What are we doing?
He just needs you to take your organ out.
Oh, okay.
Televangelist Pat Robertson says that not every sweater at Goodwill is possessed by demons.
Oh, thank
not
God.
Every what?
It's sweater.
Yeah.
At Goodwill?
But it's a good idea to pray over secondhand clothes, just in case.
Mm-hmm.
He responded to a viewer who wanted to know she should bless purchases from Goodwill before bringing them home because her mother said demons can attach themselves to material items.
Okay.
It just
makes sense.
He said, can demonic spirits attach themselves to inanimate objects? The answer is yes. But I don't think every sweater you get from Goodwill has demons, is it? In it? However, it isn't going to hurt anything to rebuke any spirits that happen to have attached themselves. You know what? I'm guessing all the clothes I've gotten from out of the closet have demons because it's a gay thing.
Raises money for AIDS research.
Right.
Yeah.
Raises money for AIDS research. Everything, I'm guessing everything, according to Pat Robertson, out of the closet.
Has
demon possessed.
Has a demon. An entity, if
right?
you will.
I've got a demon in my pants right now.
Into your house. Through
a demon in my pants.
Do you really buy clothes there?
Yes.
Do you?
And I've given clothes there,
too. Oh, I give clothes there all the time, but I don't know if I've ever...
I picked up a smock or two. All right, we have some more of Pat Robertson's thoughts. Okay.
I believe that anyone who shops at Goodwill deserves what they get. Goodwill is nothing but a common front for people trying to deny major corporations millions of dollars for their top-shelf, high-end clothing made in Chinese sweatshops by 10-year-olds who selfishly demand a cup of thin gruel once a day, a day off once a year, and clearly labeled fire exits. People who purchase hand-me-downs from the so-called Goodwill are merely promoting a Kenyan communist homo-loving agenda and deserve to be haunted by demons, succubi, and incubi, and will soon be doing the backstroke in the lake of fire, screaming like satanic goats as their giblets are sautéed in Beelzebub's bouillabaisse. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Bouillabaisse.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, here's the aforementioned noted exorcist, Bobby Jindal.
I think that the president needs to stop trying to scare the American people that absolutely you can cut less than 3% without all these awful consequences.
No.
Right.
You're...
Okay. And he went on to say.
Look, as you heard many governors say, we still think there's time for this administration to come up with a sensible alternative, but... For that to happen, for these cuts to be averted, the ball is in the president's court.
Come on. No one
here once again is my impression of Bobby Jindal's college girlfriend. Bobby, I have a demon in me. Can you please exorcise it? He's the one that said he exercised a demon from his
He sends the demon
against
her
will
to your satanic spin.
Maybe
class.
You want a demon in you. I want a demon in my pants. That's why I shop it out of the closet. Seems like big government intervention when you're not asking for it. It's like a demonic transvaginal probe of some sort.
That's a libertarian paradise if you're not asking for it.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe Barbara Hershey wanted it from the entity. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Don't interfere in a woman's private business.
The way she was dressed?
Right.
In that movie?
She was asking for it.
Okay, the show. You know what? The show went off the rails early, and I haven't gotten it back. It's like the steering, the pinion steering.
It was your self-flagellation stack that did it.
When you start the day talking about a nub scrubbing story, there's no coming back. Let's dive into the right wing world.
Oh my God!
Let's do that. Okay, Sean Hannity on the sequestration.
4 days are all that remain before the $85 billion in automatic spending cuts kick into effect. Now, to President Obama, did he spend his weekend trying to figure out how to avoid the sequester? No, of course not. No. Instead of leading, the Obama administration decided its time would best be spent by highlighting how the sequester would impact each of the 50 states. But what the White House failed to mention and the media won't cover yet again is that President Obama and his left-wing cohorts, they are the reason that this country is in this mess to begin with.
What?
God. Nice try.
History doesn't happen, apparently. It's in the past. You can't see it.
Yeah, right. It's not important now.
No wonder the Fox News viewers are the dumbest.
Can't they just change their slogan to Herp Derp?
Herp Derp.
Fox News. Herp, herp. Norm Coleman.
Let the president come out and say, here's where we're going to cut $85 billion in spending. The bottom line, Wolf, is that the president doesn't want to cut spending. We have $16 trillion in debt. He doesn't want to cut spending. If he cuts spending, we could solve this problem.
No, we need to spend more
Get
out of the hole that George Bush dug.
Right. Let's review what Paul Regala wrote. Democrats and the president have already agreed to a lot of cuts. They have come to the table. The Republicans have agreed to no revenue at all.
Right.
Okay. Greg,
there's that.
Yes. Gutfield on the five.
I have a joke. What do you call tens of thousands of kids losing their Head Start services? A Head Start. Because they don't work. Isn't that true? That the Head Start studies show that Head Start doesn't help anybody. This is the most pointless debate since Tastes Great, Less Filling. This is we're arguing over pennies, as our bangs are essentially burning. It's like complaining that your dog has fleas while he has rabies. I have a chart, however, that I want to show you because they've been complaining that this is going to be the apocalypse. So this is what the White House believes will happen from sequestration. Domestic cats will grow two heads.
No.
It's true. The new head that is grown will hunger for human flesh. Yes. Fear of two-headed carnivorous cats will force humans underground. Lastly, there will be a new Jim Carrey movie.
No, don't do that.
And that's a channel called Fox News Channel.
Jim, I always think it's bad to have to say, I am going to do a joke now.
I'm going to do a joke. I will be utilizing humor.
Here is a joke that is coming now.
Well, Fox News viewers need the heads up.
See, in that last part, Jim, is what apparently is known as satire with props. Also a visual element to it. Exaggerate the absurdity of the. There would be two-headed cats.
Carnivorous.
This is the end of the humorous section now.
Wow. But of course, all the Fox listeners said, what? I can't hear her. My hearing aids feeding back.
That all sounded like a screaming goat to me. Okay. Rush Limbaugh. Oh, Michelle Obama at the Oscars. That's the biggest tragedy to ever happen in the history of
ever.
Ever.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
Yeah, a lot of people saying Michelle Obama hijacked the Academy Awards last night. That shock surprise being introduced at the end of the show by Jack Nicholson to announce the best movie. She looked like anybody would have. Don't misunderstand. Look, just one bite and swallow that whole room. That's how big. And the optics, of course, are what matters. And I thought of 1984. Thought that Obama, the Macintosh ad from the Super Bowl in 1984, were exact type of scenario. Except Michelle Obama was actually the dear leader of this obviously a totalitarian state. And the dear leader was making some giant speech and fist-pounding, and robotic citizens are sitting there nodding.
Yes, right. Just like when Laura Bush did it in 1984.
Was the title of a book by George Orwell.
Right. And Michelle Obama didn't pound a single fist.
No.
He did the exact same monologue when Laura Bush was in the Oscars, right?
Of course he didn't.
Okay. Bill O'Reilly also... Michelle Obama, the biggest thing that's ever happened in the history of anything ever, anywhere.
So this smacks, does it not, of Hollywood left boosterism. I want to state my case for the far left nuts that are monitoring this segment. No Nancy Reagan, no Barbara Bush, no Laura Bush.
But
there's Michelle Obama. Hey, how are you?
Wrong. Well, it's,
and you know, it's a pure propaganda play to make them glamorous.
Except Laura Bush was, so that was wrong. O'Reilly's fact checker's wrong again. That's so weird.
How much is paying those fact checkers?
Maybe he sexually harassed all of them away.
Oh, that
he
could be.
He doesn't have any more.
Ronald Reagan, plenty of Republicans appeared at the Oscars. Okay.
Ronald Reagan
put down that pipe.
All right. And we end with Mike Huckabee, Fox and
Friends. It's the equivalent of saying, I'd like to buy some insurance for my car. Well, tell me about your car. Well, I totaled it yesterday, but I'd like to buy the insurance today so you can replace the car. Or saying, I'd like to buy a house.
Right.
I'd like to buy some fire insurance for my house. They say, well, how many bedrooms? Well, before it burned down last week, it had four. Look, if you go to the insurance company and you say, I'd like to buy insurance, okay, tell me about yourself. Well, I have terminal cancer, and they give me 8 months to live, and my treatments are $120,000 a month. I'd like to buy insurance. You can't buy it for $100 a month and expect the insurance company to stay in business.
Exactly.
It's not about being cruel. It's about the realities of just using actuarial science when it comes to making an insurance policy work.
Mm. What was
or
that
as
all
our friend
about?
Alan Grayson would say, your plan is hurry up and die.
Hurry up and die.
You are too expensive.
Yes.
Okay. Wow. Well, that was that compassionate conservatism we've heard so much about. Okay.
And he claims to be a pastor.
All right. 19 minutes after the hour.
And then he killed a squirrel.
Maybe he was possessed by a demonic Goodwill sweater.
That could be.
Maybe that's what that whole thing was about.
Made of squirrels.
Right. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Making more people spit coffee on themselves than any other radio show in America. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Please pray for me. I was the black sheep of the family. Too much wine and too much song. Wonder how I got along. We had joy, we had fun. We had seasons in the sun. But the wine and the song, like the seasons, have all gone. We had joy, we had fun. We had seasons in the sun.
I wish I had Therabro mouth-wetting lozenges after my Lake Niagara wine and my MD 2020 and whatever else I drank back then in my Seasons in the Sun.
That is not quite a ringing endorsement.
Well, listen, Therabro mouth-wetting lozenges are fabulous. You know why? I used to chew gum all the time. It's not good for your tum-tum. I have acid reflux.
Mm-hmm.
You pop a great-tasting mandarin mint Therabro lozenge. It helps stop uncomfortable dry mouth fast. Therabro mouth-wetting lozenges available at Target, Walmart, Walgreens, and other fine stores. All right, more importantly, who is listener Dan?
Yes.
Has now sent us some more Taylor Dane with Screaming Goats. Appreciated, seriously, deeply appreciated.
If someone sends you that, you got to play it.
Right? Totally. All right. Wowee. This is, you know, sometimes you're like, oh, is that from The Onion? No. Gun activists warn Obama is raising a private black army to massacre white Americans.
Yeah. Wow.
Gun Owners of America president Larry Pratt appeared on the... We played a clip from the Talk to Solomon show.
Yes, we did.
Right.
Yes.
He predicted President Obama may begin confiscating... Here, we need some music. Confiscating guns in order to provoke a violent response to justify further oppression, which host Stan Solomon, please and thank you, feared that would lead to the imprisonment of thousands of people. Pratt once again insisted Obama is acting like King George III, a sentiment which Solomon concurred and said that will happen quickly and they will wipe those people out to set an example. Solomon went on to say, I believe they will put together a racial force to go against an opposite race resistance, basically a black force to go against a white resistance.
Wow.
And then they will claim anyone resisting the black force are doing it because they are racist.
Okay, Charles Manson.
Yeah, if you resist Obama's black army, you are racist.
It's helter-skelter.
Right.
It's...
You may be right, he agreed, because he's been sowing the seeds of racial hatred.
Mm-hmm.
We were healing quite well as a nation on racial issues until Obama came along.
Right.
And now we have a lot of racial discord. See what you did?
Wow.
You bringing your blackness into the Oval Office. And now look what you did. We were totally post-racial society. And then you.
Then the black guy had to ruin everything.
Sheesh.
Race wars, screaming goats.
Whatever.
Fine.
Taylor Dane.
People rubbing their stub outside convenience stores. Look what's happened now.
Hey, nub barbecue.
Nub scrubbing rubbing. Scrubbing their nub.
Nub rubbing.
Scrubbing their nub.
Oh, nub scrubbing.
Yes.
Okay.
It's happened now all because of the black guy in the White House. All right. Interesting stuff. A new analysis of 56 mass shootings across America since 2009 finds women and family members are the most frequent victims, and the shooter almost always acquired his guns legally in cases where the gun source is known.
Mm.
In at least 32 of the cases, 57%, the shooter killed a current or former spouse or intimate partner or other family member, and at least 8 of those shooters had a prior domestic violence charge. The spokesperson for Mayors Against Illegal Guns said it's clear in the public's mind that background checks can help to prevent some of these killings because we found with the domestic violence situations there are 38% fewer killings of women in states that require background checks for every handgun sale.
Hmm.
So interesting stuff. And I love the fact that Mayor Bloomberg is getting in, he's putting his money where his mouth is.
He is.
He's getting involved in a lot of races trying to counter the money from the NRA that we've just been awash in. I saw, by the way, another clip of Wayne LaPierre speaking somewhere yesterday.
Ugh.
That guy's just the poster child for Too Crazy to Have a Gun.
Yep.
President of Too Crazy to Have a Gun here, Wayne LaPierre. And here are my thoughts. Okay. 29 minutes after the hour. Matt Breen from The Advocate next to talk about this. This is big news.
It is.
Republicans for a gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
All my friends are gay. All my friends are gay.
34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. That's why I have Jim, who is extra crispy bucket of straight.
Right.
Just to even things out.
Sure.
Right. All right.
Gotta have one.
All right. He's my breeder. Okay. 1-800. He hasn't bred, but he's still, you know.
Right.
All right. 1-800. He's my... Never mind.
What? Yeah,
know,
don't go there.
This is really big news.
Nearly did once, but that's a little...
Republicans signed a brief in support of gay marriage. Dozens of prominent Republicans, including top advisors to former President George W. Bush, 4 former governors, 2 members of Congress, have signed a legal brief arguing that gay people have a constitutional right to marry, a position that amounts to a direct challenge to Speaker Boehner, who otherwise is having such a good time of things.
I am 90% of what I want. I'm pretty happy.
He's being such an effective leader.
And reflects the civil war in the party since the November election. The document will be submitted this week to the Supreme Court in support of a suit seeking to strike down Prop 8. Mm-hmm. Matthew Breen, of the editor-in-chief of The Advocate magazine, joins us now. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning.
This is pretty big stuff, yes?
I love this. This is fantastic. This is great news.
So we've got this letter that it's a friend of the court brief that all these, you know, including Meg Whitman as a prominent Republican thinker in there. But, you know, 75 folks so far from the Republican Party have signed this letter saying, through the Supreme Court, we have an interest in this case, and we think that gays should get the right to marry.
Well, and there's...
That is consistent with conservative values.
Well, that's the interesting thing. The legal analysts I'm reading in the New York Times, Matt, say the brief has the potential to sway conservative justices as much for the prominent names attached to it as for its legal arguments. You know, because as you say, it's not just Republican officials, a lot of influential thinkers, 75 as of Monday night, right, who are not
right.
normally associated with gay rights advocacy, include some who are speaking out for the first time, right, or that have changed their previous positions, like Meg Whitman.
Yeah, a lot of these people who are former elected officials or former administration officials who, like, in retirement or who are not actively seeking, you know, office right now, suddenly, like, feel the freedom to talk about the fact that they are maybe pro-equality now that they're not active Republican officials. So that, you know, that kind of underscores one of these major problems with being a Republican these days. That towing the party line means not expressing your own views about equality in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
But all these folks sort of are like freed up now that they're out of office.
Well, and it includes Representatives Aliana Ross Layton, Stephen Hadley, Bush National Security Advisor Carlos Gutierrez, Bush's Commerce Secretary James Comey, a top Bush Justice Department official, David Stockman, President Reagan's Budget Director. John Huntsman also signed
yeah.
it. We were just quoting from his piece, Matt, about marriage equality is a conservative cause. Yeah, and John Feary, the Republican strategist, quoted as saying the ground on this is obviously changing, and it's changing more rapidly than people think. I think Republicans in the future are going to be a bit more careful about focusing on these issues that tend to divide the party. What do you think?
Well, I think this is going to continue to be a problem for the party. There are still a lot of aging Republicans. There's still a lot of folks in the South and of course, all the, you know, the Christian conservatives who are really sort of, you know, on the other side of this potential split in social issues, especially with gay equality in the party. So you're going to see this generational divide. This fracturing is just not going to, it doesn't bode well for people who are on the wrong, like, as we like to say, on the wrong side of history on this.
Well, and it is an interesting point you made that, you know, Christy Todd Whitman's on here, William Weld, Jane Swift, both former governors of Massachusetts. But we were just quoting, you know, the current senator from Louisiana, Bobby Jindal, when he was just asked on Meet the Press this Sunday, you know, can you continue to discriminate mm-hmm. against LGBT people? And he, basically, Matt, his answer is yes. You know, we're running on economics, and I believe in one man, one woman, and, you know, we're an aspirational party. And Bobby, he didn't answer the question, basically.
Right. The economics he's running on is the economics of getting, you know, donations for his next campaign run.
Right.
You know, this comes down to a lot of being able to raise money for your reelection campaign. Major donors. There's still tons of money on the anti-equality side. So when folks are looking at running for office, they are looking at, you know, their coffers too. And right now, it doesn't seem to be enough money on the pro-equality GOP side.
Well, you know who was quoted? Ken Mellon, who, of course, has come out as gay and was the chairman of the RNC.
Right.
You know, he came out and said, we're trying to say to the court, we are judicial and political conservatives, and it's consistent with our values and philosophy for you to overturn Prop 8. I think it really is going to have an impact, don't you?
It really will. You know, we've talked in the past about how the Supreme Court really does take the national temperature, even though it won't ever admit to doing so.
Right.
And there are, I think, if some of the more conservative justices at politicians as conservative, as consistently conservative, and are, you know, looking at that position saying, a couple of cases recently, including Citizens United. I don't know how they brought in Citizens United and said, you know, same-sex marriage and Citizens United are equally conservative aligned somehow. I'll have to look into that. But they're citing these cases and saying, these are consistent conservative values.
Mm-hmm.
And the freedom to be married, the freedom to have the government out of your relationship that way is consistent with conservative values. It's really interesting.
Yeah, who echoes you in this New York Times piece is Steve Schmidt, who, of course, is Republican, who was John McCain's senior advisor. He said the die is cast on this issue when you look at the percentage of younger voters who support gay marriage. He signed the brief, and he said, as Dick Cheney said years ago, freedom meets freedom for everybody. I mean, and the statistics they're looking at is about 70% of voters under 30 back same-sex marriage. I mean, this, as you say, there is a real being on the wrong side of history component to this before the Supreme Court, isn't there?
Yeah, the tide is only, you know, the tide is turning. The tide is turning in the direction of equality. And there's really no going back. And if it means that it's just, you know, older conservatives who are dying off in order to make room for younger conservatives who are open to equality, I mean, that's not going to change direction. There is a trajectory on this. And it's going for us. It's going in our favor.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the only thing that bothers me sometimes about stories like this, it's almost like, oh, well, they have more credibility because they're, you know, Republican. I just think what I love is the fact, Matthew, that I think this is becoming not a partisan issue anymore because, you know, I think it's a human issue. I don't think anybody necessarily has more credibility, gay, straight, Republican, Democrat. It is a human rights issue.
Absolutely. But, you know, if we're talking about a general marketplace of ideas, conservative versus progressive, wouldn't it be nice to sort of take human equality out of that question and just, you know, talk about economics or talk about, other conservative versus progressive, like, talking, you know, discussion points and take the idea of equality out of it.
Yeah.
It should not be a progressive or a conservative issue. Just be a human issue.
That's a crazy left-wing position.
I thought, ironically, yeah. John Huntsman's the one that put it into perspective in this article, and of course he wasn't pro when he just ran for president, Matthew. But you know what he said is basically that people don't. It's become human now. Like I just said, people don't want people to vote against their friends and loved ones and family members, right?
Yeah, he was in favor of civil unions at that time, which was a real break from the party. But I'm not in favor of same-sex marriage. But if I wonder if some of these people are looking at, you know, a longer, you know, the long game, like we like to talk about Obama looking at the long game in his policies, his approach to the administration. But if we're looking at some of these younger Republican politicians trying to play a long game, they may be looking at younger Republican potential voters in the future who are going to see same-sex marriage as a human right.
You know, I hate
and
to...
not.
Right. I hate to say it, Matthew, but you make a really good point that you go, is this the only reason they're coming to the table on immigration reform? Because they're like, wow, we got our ass kicked in the Latino vote. And you're right. Well, it's like, in the end, you go, who cares why they do the right thing if they do, I suppose, right? If
they are politicians, after all.
That's true.
Yes, exactly. Matthew, great stuff as usual. Matthew Breen, editor-in-chief of The Advocate. Great to talk to you, honey. Thanks a lot.
Always love to talk to you. Thank you.
All right. There he goes.
Yay.
I forgot to ask him who he wants from New Pope. Cares. Okay.
Really?
There's intrigue in the Vatican.
Oh God.
Vatican slams media about sex scandal and gay rumors before the
papal
conclave.
Because it's the media that's doing everything wrong here. It's not the church itself.
Dare you report on the
rumor
bad things
mongers?
Done.
Rumor mongers making up stuff.
Great.
As cardinals from around the world begin arriving in Rome for the conclave. It's also festive to elect a successor to Pope Benny and the Jets. Mm-hmm. New shadows have fallen over the transition, which the Vatican fears might influence the vote, and with it the direction of the Roman Catholic Church. In recent days, often speculative reports in the Italian news media, some even alleging gay sex scandals in the Vatican.
Hey, what's the matter, you?
Others focusing on particular cardinals stung by the child sexual abuse crisis have dominated headlines.
Like Mahoney from here in Los Angeles, he's going.
Really?
Yes.
Hmm. Don't talk about
He's got a vote in this new pope.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
That's wrong.
Vatican Secretary of State issued a rare pointed rebuke calling it deplorable that ahead of the conclave there's a widespread distribution of often unverified, unverifiable, completely false news stories that cause serious damage to persons and institutions.
Are they unverifiable?
What sort of stories? Stories about
completely
the
false.
Ongoing child rape for years and years and then payoffs and priests being moved around to different parishes, things like that? There I go, shooting off your mouth.
You're going to get a letter from the Pope.
All right.
Is the Pope German?
Yes, I'm sure I will. Alan in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Alan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A couple of comments on the gun debate. I called a gun shop this morning and asked them if they had this special caliber of the pistol, and he proceeded to tell me makes, models, price ranges, and everything. And then I asked him about a taser gun. And then he proceeded to tell me how I needed to take an anger management course. I needed to take a legal course so how I could discharge this and not get sued. One more comment. And these school districts that are bound and determined to arm these teachers, why not arm them with rubber bullets, taser guns? I would rather have my kid come home, you know, with poop in his pants with a flash grenade going off than some teacher walking in there with a pistol and start spraying, you know, their Glock around.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. Well, you know, we had another gal that echoed that. She said she couldn't buy pepper spray without having to, you know, a course and a check and a background. Yeah, exactly. All right. Because, who wants to be tased, bro?
100-round magazine? Sure, go ahead.
You need training for tasing.
Oh, pepper spray? I don't know if you can handle that.
No, I'm sorry. A spice? No.
Mace?
No. Next thing you know, you'll be on to paprika. No spice for you without training.
Paprika in the eye can hurt.
Yeah.
46 minutes after the...
I should know.
A bushmaster? Why, here you go.
Yeah.
You're not going to curry favor with anyone with that remark.
Curry.
Rosemary. Time. This is a slippery slope.
You'll be on your way to Scarborough Fair in no time.
Right! 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human Prozac. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Listen to Stephanie Miller from a location midway between the loudspeakers. This sequence is repeated several times.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. Final segment, which means we've, we're rocking the house, y'all. But in addition, we have hit the bottom of the Screaming Goat barrel. Mm-hmm. Kenny Pick feels that we must hear Jane Child with Screaming Goats?
Yes.
Okay.
You've heard that song, haven't you?
Yes.
Okay. You were like, who's Jane Child?
Keith in Milwaukee. Hi, Keith.
Make that, Keith. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
This is the power of your show. I'm laughing at the screaming goat thing, and I don't know why.
I know.
Let me just point something out about this sequester thing that may be bad for the Republicans in the long run. What have they been talking about for more than the last 30 years, which is government means nothing to you? You know, and I think that, you know, that it does nothing right. It has hardly any function. And, in generally they use that argument when Democrats want to propose tax increases because they tell people that, hey, you know, you increase taxes, are going to waste that money. If this, sequester kicks in, God forbid, I think people are going to really find out what government means to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. By the way, Dave in Minnesota talking about small businesses being affected. Hi, Dave.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, sir. Go ahead.
I bring up the point that we talk about the tax loopholes, big businesses buying airplanes and all that kind of thing. Well, small businesses. My family had a small business. I worked at it. This was nearly 30 years ago, and I was on my way out to San Francisco to meet up with some friends, see some dead shows. New Year shows, my dad said, you know, there's a conference in L.A. that following week. The company will buy your plane ticket and your hotel room, and you just go to that conference.
Hmm.
So I got to fly out. Also, on another note, I know somebody, he owns he and his wife run a jewelry shop, gift shop,
uh-huh.
And every piece of mail that goes out from their packages to friends, whatever it is run through their postage meter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they'll say that, you know what, that comes out of our pocket anyway. Well, yeah, but they didn't get taxed on it. If I want to mail a package and it costs 75 cents, I have to earn a dollar to do that. They're not paying taxes. They also take, you know, flies over to South Africa to buy diamonds, again, paid for by the company. Well, if I buy a plane ticket, it's going to cost me, you know, 50% more because I have to earn all the money to do it. I don't just take it as an expense.
Yep.
So,
okay. All right. Get your point. My more important point is, why does anyone ask Donald Trump what he thinks ever?
Oh, God.
Huge.
I take solace in the fact that he's pretty much wrong always about everything.
Hugely wrong.
He said, I'm saying that the Tea Party, perhaps by another name, will soon have another big moment. Huge. It'll be a major factor in victory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Hmm. And you lost money in a casino.
Right.
Also, he wants you to know Django Unchained, the most racist movie he's ever seen. This is well-known birther Donald Trump.
Right. Mm. I don't think Jamie Foxx, Samuel L. Jackson, or Kerry Washington would have said yes to the
yes.
movie
right.
if it's the most
so it
racist
terrible,
movie ever made.
Terrible and a disgrace. He
huge
also
disgrace.
Here's my favorite. He also criticized the Oscar set as tacky.
Wait a minute.
Any wow. of his buildings anywhere?
Wait a minute. Every single one of his buildings is a giant whorehouse.
Yes.
Plated in gold.
Yes, it's a giant phallic
it's
whorehouse.
Got class.
Gold-plated.
Got glass coming out of its
and,
ass.
And he says the Oscars were tacky?
Yes.
Okay.
And Daniel Day-Lewis, not from this country.
So?
And your point
what,
is?
Why?
Just, I don't know, maybe not qualified to play an American president because I don't.
He's one of the best actors in
okay.
the world.
Right.
Oh, my God.
All right, the
he's
Onion,
no Gary Busey.
The Onion has apologized for a tasteless Twitter remark.
Oh, this was
at,
awful.
Little Q, 9 yeah. years old. I can't say her first name,
Kavanjane or something like that?
Wallace, right.
Yeah.
Little cute.
Yeah.
Almost 12 hours after the fact, the Onion, because I normally love the Onion, but that was, what the hell were they thinking?
I don't
they
know.
They called her the C word.
Yeah.
She's 9.
And she's charming as hell.
I say. Anyway, it was deleted with an hour of popping
yeah.
up.
That's something that shouldn't be tweeted. I mean, you could yeah. say that jokingly in, you know.
Well,
in
no,
you
no, no.
Not
you know
about
what?
A 9-year-old.
I know, but still, I mean,
yeah,
it's obviously meant to be
you know, maybe,
sardonic. But
you know, maybe if they tweeted something like that, you know, she.
But don't put it out there in the whole world, you know.
Yeah,
because we're going to be taken.
Yeah,
she's getting a big head or
literally.
Something like that. You know, that may have been okay, but.
Speaking of creepy, wowee, Jack Nicholson hit on Jennifer Lawrence.
Have you seen the video of that?
Oh wow!
Oh, it's awful.
It's a little The Shining. Yeah. This video.
Yes.
Well, he's 75. She's 22.
Yes.
He likes
What's
some
your
young.
Point?
You know, so she was sitting
ladies,
down.
Ladies, you like to have lunch.
Right. She was sitting down for an interview backstage. He snuck up behind her. And he's, well, anyway, Nicholson remarked that she reminded him of an old girlfriend. And she replied jokingly, really? Do I look like a new girlfriend? And he said, I thought about it.
I thought about it. Want to have lunch, Jennifer?
As he appeared to drift back into the crowd of people behind her, she buried her face in her hands and said, is he still here? to George Stephanopoulos. No sooner she uttered those words, Nicholson popped up behind her again.
Here's Johnny!
Like The Shining.
Yeah, breaking through the door with the axe.
This time, sporting his trademark sunglasses to say, I'll be waiting. And then she said, oh my God, I need a rearview mirror.
Yeah.
You're going
to
need
I love how she said to Jack Nicholson's face, you're being really rude. Who says that to Jack Nicholson?
She does, apparently.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, Jim. You were going to say something about...
We're going
to
need a lot of drinks.
All right. Kill the bug up. Earth.
No.
What's that about? Russell Crowe has defended Seth MacFarlane after his mauling on Twitter. The critics obviously gave Seth MacFarlane mixed reviews.
Yeah.
Stars have been coming forward fighting for him. Russell Crowe said, congratulations, Seth MacFarlane. You did a great, mate. You handled it all with grace. Steve Martin said Seth MacFarlane was wonderful. Blah, blah, blah.
They were great, mate.
I thought he was fine.
Well, that was good.
How's that for damning with faint praise?
Oscars in the toilet. There was a flash flood. Somebody, all right, who was in the toilet? Melissa McCarthy. Was some bridesmaid scene going on in there?
Who plugged it up?
Yep. Yeah, look at this.
Wow.
Yeah, there was
a
quite the flood.
A water pipe burst inside
yeah.
the Oscars.
That's not good.
Something bridesmaidies would happen in that bathroom.
Hello.
All right, that's it for us today. I'd like to thank Crystal Boy, Jim Ward, T-Bone. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.